course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends. Today, we're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Not too bad. Pretty good. Pretty good. Can't complain. What is it you always say? Living the dream, whatever. I don't know. I guess I feel like I need to say the cliches today.
Yeah, I just had a scream for you. That's all I
That's all right. It's all good.
had.
On today's episode, we are reviewing the Screambox movie Project MK Hex. Remember, we toiled over was the to be pronounced or whatever. It's MK Hex. I guess we should have known because of MK Ultra. I guess we should have put two and two together, but alas, what do we know? But before we get there, Ike, what did you watch this week?
Not a whole lot. I checked out, well, I guess I should say I continued watching the series You on Netflix. I'm on season four. We're almost done with it, and then we're on to season five, and then hopefully starting The Last of Us next, from the beginning. So otherwise, nothing.
Yeah, the only thing I watched, I did go and watch the since we it came up last episode, I did go and watch Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Very fun movie.
Oh yeah.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. Thought it was hilarious and fun and just all around, just a good little watch. So I very much enjoyed that. So but that's the only thing I watched. So all right. Easy peasy. Let's move on.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And it's time for our cheesy slasher of the week. This is where I can I present to you a cheesy, a low budget, kind of a whatever, an unheralded movie that might fit into kind of the theme of the show. This episode, we present to you the movie Bad Ben. Ike, have you ever heard of the movie Bad Ben?
I have. I've actually seen the first one.
Oh, have you? See, I've not seen any of them. So there you go. But anyway, Bad Ben's what we're talking about. And it was released online April 5th, 2016. It is now available to view on the Roku channel. It was written, directed, and stars Tom Fancelau as Nigel Bock. That's kind of his pen name, I guess. The movie is described as a man realizes something sinister lives inside his new home. The movie was filmed in Fanslaw's actual home for a budget of $300. And there are now a total of 14 Bad Ben films, and a 15th is coming out this summer. There is also a game adaptation that was created, and I think it's available online. So this is, I guess, very much a passion project. Like I said, I've not seen any of them. Ike, what did you think of the first one?
So it's weird. Not too long ago, this is just a short story. I don't want to get too long-winded here. I was trying to find some more found footage movies to watch because, like, I'm a huge fan of found footage. This is probably like a month or two ago, and I found a couple that people were really hyping up. At least they were like, you know, these are pretty decent, you know, low budget, independent type movies, and Bad Ben was one of them. And I found it online, gave it a watch, and I was like, you know, that was pretty enjoyable. You can tell that this is very, very cheaply made. It's not super high, you know, high def or, you know, super high quality in terms of production. Very simple, very, 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 very simple. And but it had some neat little tricks and, you know, little things that were happening in the background that were kind of fun. But it's like a possession type movie, sort of all a Paranormal Activity. So yeah, I mean, not treading any new ground, but it's interesting to see because you can tell that it was made by someone who was just trying to have fun. I did not know, however, that there are 15 of these guys, so I got some watching to do.
Yeah, and if you scroll through, some of the titles are they're unique. Like there's a Bad Ben Frankenstein, a Bad Ben. I don't know. There's all kinds of stuff. So apparently they'll go with in any direction with this. So But some of this discussion we're going to save here because it leads right into our next segment.
Talk to us, Internet!
And it's time for Talk to Us, Internet, where this is where Ike and I either respond to Internet feedback from you guys or just pick up on an Internet topic of discussion. And that's where we follow this episode. And the topic is, overall, does it seem that found footage films are used as a creative tool or as a crutch? Now, by crutch, I don't mean just whatever. I think that means, overall, are found footage films truly written and intended to be found footage films? That's the meaning behind the story. Or are they used because that is the easiest way for them to make this movie, such as a Bad Ben, right? With low budget, this and that. I mean, you know, found footage just would probably be the easiest way for them to do it. We talked about, what was the movie? Oh, shoot. I'm shooting a blank on it now. We had the writer and director on. We had his family in it.
Life of Bell.
Life of Bell. There you go. Where, you know, that was kind of the way he had to do it. But you can see how with, you know, someone like him, where it was, he turned that, maybe it was his only option or his best option. But like we discussed in the interview with him, right, he did use that in a creative way. He found ways to get more out of less. And that's something we've discussed before, right? That a good director, a good filmmaker can use some smoke and mirrors to just stretch things a little further than the capabilities of their budget and their equipment and whatnot by, you know, whatever, you know, creative editing, creative angles, however it may be, knowing the shots to make, not to make. But there is the balance there, right? In found footage films, which is the primary? Is it, and I'm talking as we stand now, right? Because obviously there was a time and place where found footage was the creative, you know, whatever, trend. But as it stands now, how many found footage films that are put out there, and there's still quite a few that come out all the time, how many of those are truly written and intended and they go into it wanting to make it a found footage film? How many of those want to make a film and found footage is the easiest way for them to do it? What do you think, Ike?
Yeah, you know, and honestly, I think we've talked about this a little bit in the past, but, you know, like you said, we've kind of gotten into this weird, like, as time has gone on, you know, found footage used to just be a way in which to present a movie, right? It was just a method in which some people decided to, it was a method in which some people decided to basically film a movie, you know, like you said, mostly for budgetary constraints, or perhaps that was what the image of the film really provided to them. But then now I feel like it's its own entire genre. So I guess the answer to your question, or, you know, whether or not, you know, is it intentional, or do I think that people start movies saying, hey, I want this to be found footage, or is it just this is the easiest way to make a movie? I think it can be both. But I also think it can be a matter of, you know, it boiling down to that, hey, this would be the best way for me to get my movie made. But also, I think that because found footage is such a vast and popular genre, people just cling to the idea of found footage and as a genre now versus just a method in which to present a movie. I mean, we have traces of found footage, you know, back to like the 60s, notably things like Cannibal Holocaust in the 80s, you know, Blair Witch Project in the 90s, and so on. So, I mean, the concept of found footage is not new, and I just think it's been around for so long. I think now it's just a genre that some people pointedly use to, you know, hey, I love this genre, let me make a movie in this genre. But I do think there are some, maybe like Life of Bell, who are like, you know, this is probably the cheapest way to get my movie made versus, you know, going full-on production. So I think it can be both. I think it can be a little bit of both in that case.
Yeah, I do too. And I think maybe the more prudent question would be, not even a question, the more prudent point, found footage really is probably the quickest off the top of my head, the quickest movie making style that separates the talented filmmakers from the not as talented filmmakers. Because someone who doesn't have a good vision or creativity or a good eye, you can really see that a lot easier in a found footage film. And it's just it kind of just is kind of boring, and it's kind of cookie cutter. And then you have someone like Sean with the Life of Bill, who has a good eye and is creative, and you really watch it and you think, man, I would have expected a bigger that he had a bigger budget doing this. And you hear right him telling the stories of standing at the top of the stairs, holding a camera over his head to get certain shots and certain angles that he wanted, and you wouldn't have known it, right? By just watching the film, you couldn't tell. I think it just boils it, right? A talented creative filmmaker will make a good movie no matter how they approach it. And if they don't have the money to do a feature, right? Like, Life of Bill could have been a feature type film had there been that budget behind it. It could have very easily have been made that way and still been an effective story, but it didn't have that. So this is the route he went and told a great story and used some of that creativity to overachieve. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a, getting absolutely wringing every drop out of the dollars he had. And like he said, a lot of his budget went to buying toys for his daughter. I think there's like you said, I think there's both, right? I do think there are people who use found footage just to make a film because they just want to make a film. And it's not even, you can tell, right? It's not even that it's necessarily a passion or it's whatever. It's just more of a, oh, we want to do this because it sounds fun. And that's okay. I mean, I'm not knocking that. But you can kind of tell that it's just the easiest means for them to do that. And then you can tell the people who are truly creative and really say, okay, I if I have to use found footage, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to make something, special out of it. And I know it's a very divisive thing, right? I love found footage. Monica does not enjoy found footage very much. Overall, so it's I know it is what it is, like any other style. Some people love it, some people don't. I don't think there's a lot of middle ground really with found footage, really. I don't think you get a lot of people that just say, oh, it's okay.
No, in my experience, found footage is either love or hate. And I think honestly, I think it really, it, I mean, for obvious reasons, it boils down to whether or not people like that method of presenting a film. Some people just simply do not like shaky camera. They don't like the handheld perspective. They would prefer a cinematic experience, and that's all right. They don't gotta like it, but yeah, I definitely agree. Found footage is perhaps one of the more divisive genres of film, if I had to take a guess.
And we've talked about in the past, right? That I like some found footage when it first became a thing, and then it kind of got to the point where I didn't really like found footage. I just felt it all looked the same. It was all there for a while, and but there have been lots of films recently that have turned me back around, and I find it overall one of my favorite styles now. When it's a good found footage that I really enjoy it when it's done right. It's one of those things. So, all right then, let's table that and let's move on.
Top three.
And we are circling around to our original segment from the very beginning. We are doing a top three. And given the movie of review today, we are going to discuss our top three favorite conspiracy movies. Now, we didn't pigeonhole this as just a horror movie. The three I picked are a little, I would call them spooky. I wouldn't call them necessarily straight up horror, but they're definitely got some spooky aspects. I think a lot of found footage leans towards having some spookiness in it, even if it's, kind of based on real life stuff. So, Ike, do you have your top three ready?
I surely do.
All right. Well, I will begin. My number three favorite conspiracy movie is from 1998. It is the X-Files movie. This movie takes place between seasons 5 and 6 in the X-Files, and I know it's not, whatever you want to say about it. I love the X-Files. It is the conspiracy, right, show, right? I mean, it's got so many conspiracies in it. But the movie, roughly talks about a deadly extraterrestrial virus. It's kind of threatening to wipe out humanity, which would kind of open the Earth up for alien colonization. It's kind of the biggest conspiracy of the X-Files world. I'm a big X-Files fan. Love the X-Files. I thought the first movie was just absolutely spectacular. Loved it. So it slips in at my number three favorite conspiracy movie. Ike, have you seen this movie?
I think so. It's been a very long time, but I do believe I've seen that movie. It's just been a very long time. It's been a while since I've seen the X Files too.
Yeah, X-Files, it's a fun show.
It
I do
is.
enjoy it. So, all right, Ike, then what do you have in at your number three favorite conspiracy movie?
All right. So this one's a little bit of the political religious side of things. I picked 2011's Red State. Red State is written and directed by Kevin Smith. Love Kevin Smith. Basically, this is, it's set in Middle America. A group of teens receive like an online invitation for, I believe they get invited to like have sex with like some random woman. Like it's like this weird setup, but it's Kevin Smith, so I kind of, it's just
Sure.
Kevin Smith. But basically, it's like a religious fundamentalist group, and they have this like super messed up thought process about like keeping these kids and like using them as I want to say they use them as just like hostages, but basically they get kidnapped. The ATF shows up. It's about terrorism, it's about religion, it's about conspiracy and everything else, and the movie just ends on such a dark down note. It is just honestly, it's horrible, but it's great at the same time. But I remember I watched this when I used to work at AMC. I had a really good friend at AMC when I used to work there who was like, "Hey, have you ever seen Red State?" And I'm like, "No, I've never seen it." Couldn't find it online, so he lent me his copy of it, and I was able to watch it. So fond memories of that one.
Yeah, I love Kevin Smith. I love pretty much all he's done, and I think Red State's probably, ooh, I would venture, I guess, probably the best. I would think. I'm trying to think through it here, of his non, quote unquote, View Askew movies, right? The non
Right.
Jay and Silent Bob type movies, which he had a few of them that he's done, I would think this is probably the best. Although I have a lot of affinity for Tusk. I really enjoy Tusk. But yeah,
Absolutely.
good movie. I like Kevin Smith. Overall, most of his stuff. I'm not a big fan of Cop Out, but I'm not a big fan of Jersey Girl. But no one can be perfect. But I do enjoy Red State. So, all
Absolutely.
right. I think there's a theme going through mine, as we'll see here when we get through this. But my number two from 1977, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where basically, a man has a close encounter, which causes him to become obsessed for answers, travel across the country trying to find. This is kind of, to me, is the prototype for, an alien conspiracy type movie. This is the blueprint. I love this movie. It was, I mean, as far as I know, one of the first to do it on this level. And I love it to today, still to today. And I think, like I said, I think we look across my movies here. I've got kind of an alien thing. Maybe I lean towards the alien stuff a little bit, but that's not surprising. Ike, have you seen Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
I have, again, it's been a long time, but I have seen Close Encounters. I like I said, both your movies I've seen, but it's probably been close to a decade since I've seen either of them.
Do you know the criteria for the three kinds of close encounters?
No, I remember that they tell you about them in the movie.
Yeah. Well, basically, and this is very much simplifying it. First kind is like basically you see a UFO, right? You see something. And that's what it is. Second kind is where, I don't know if you have to actually see it or not, but anyway, but the second kind, there is some form of, I don't know the right word. I want to say evidence left, maybe like a burnt spot on the ground, a power outage, flicker, you know what I mean? That kind of stuff where there's some kind of,
Interaction.
Something, an effect that, right, that happens. And then third kind is where you actually encounter or interact or have an interaction with the UFO or an extraterrestrial. This would be what you would call, your quote unquote abductions and et cetera, right? Now there are other kinds. All that has expanded and blah, blah, blah over the years. There's different scales, what have you, but that's basically the three kinds. So there you go. All right. So Ike,
Man.
what is, just,
A
a little information there.
little lesson for you guys.
Sorry for anybody that's interested. So you didn't ask for it, but you got it anyway. So Ike, what is your number two favorite conspiracy movie?
My number one and three are, I would say, at least in the ballpark of horror movies. This one is absolutely not, but this is probably one of my favorite, like, conspiracy movies of all time. But it's Captain America: Winter Soldier. I try and avoid going off script a little bit, but when we talk about conspiracies, one of the greatest conspiracies of all time in Marvel is the fact that Hydra is still there, right? And so I guess spoiler for people who have not watched Captain America: Winter Soldier, which has been out for about a decade now,
It's been a while.
Captain America: Winter Soldier is probably the best Captain America movie, one of the better Marvel movies, but also one of the best conspiracy movies because it's the truest conspiracy, Hey, Hydra, and of course we bring back the Winter Soldier, Bucky Barnes, and that conspiracy with Bucky Barnes gets expanded upon in Civil War and so on and so forth. But it's one of the best conspiracies ever, in my opinion, and it kind of really drives home the thought process of like how deep are they? How deep are they into the society? And I think it's very timely. I think Nazis running the government is a very timely conversation to be had. So go rewatch The Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier is, it still holds as, oh man, one of, I won't, I'd have to really think it through to say it is the singular of my favorite of the Marvel movies. It is definitely up
Right.
there. It is definitely in
Oh,
that conversation.
absolutely.
I love Winter Soldier. It is just a great watch. And Marvel's made a lot of good movies, but that one is just, man, it is just so good. All right, then we're on to the number ones. And my number one favorite conspiracy movie, one of my favorite movies of all time, just a comfort movie for me, from 1988, They Live, starring Roddy Piper. And this is basically where the ruling class are, they're aliens. And they are manipulating people to consume, breed, conform, or just obey. And there are certain types of glasses that allow you to see some of these subliminal messages. I love it as a definite commentary on consumerism and this and that also. And just God, oh, such a damn good movie. I love They Live. I can watch it over and over and over again. There was a period as a years ago, years, years, years ago, where I was a wee bit obsessed with this movie. And just loved it, but it is right up there as one of my top comfort rewatch movies of all time. So Ike, what do you think about They Live?
So I've never seen They Live. It is on my
Oh,
list, but
oh,
I know a
oh,
lot about They Live. Like I know it's got Roddy Piper. I know like the glasses. I know a lot about They Live, but I've never seen the movie all the way through. I have seen clips, so but it's on my list. It's at the top of my list. They Live is and
one of the
but.
best lines from a movie, which a lot of times gets credited to Roddy Piper as being in wrestling. Now he may have used it in wrestling, I don't know that for sure, but it came from They Live, where he says that I'm here to chew bubble gum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubble gum. Just such a Such a classic line. But oh yes, you got to watch that movie. It's so good. So good. So fun.
It's such a good line too, because I don't know if you ever played Duke Nukem.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I'm here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of gum. Yep,
Yeah. Okay. So wait, I don't recall that. That's in Duke Nukem as well.
yeah, but I'm pretty sure They Live came out before Duke Nukem, because I think
It
Duke Nukem was
did. It did.
in the 90s, so
Yeah. Duke. Talk about a. I don't recall it real well, but talking about a bad video game adaptation for a movie.
yeah.
Oof. Anyway, okay. Let's stick to. We won't venture off that one. So, Ike, what is your number one favorite conspiracy movie?
So my number one, and I don't know, it's not even that it's necessarily like an unknown movie. It's a was released in 2020. It was called The Empty Man. So this movie I don't think got a theatrical release because it came out during COVID, but it is super cool, super interesting conspiracy slash cult movie. I realize that two of the three of my movies are cult related, but
This might
the
tell our choices might tell a lot about us.
I don't know. Apparently, I have an affinity to like Jim Jonesing or something. I don't know. But
Remind me never to serve you Kool-Aid.
yeah, if I serve you Kool-Aid, maybe don't drink it. And if I come over to your
Right.
house, don't let you probe me, I guess.
Don't have to worry about that.
But no, so The Empty Man, it's about a cop who is basically investigating a missing girl, but he basically unearths this huge conspiracy where there's like this secret group of people, and it kind of is like a cult that they're trying to like, I believe they're trying to resurrect a supernatural entity, like some sort of like demon or god that they worship, called they call him the Empty Man.
As you do.
Absolutely. And it's a very interesting movie. It has a lot of really like subliminal stuff that goes into it, because it's a super long movie. It was a 2 hour long movie, but it had my attention the entire time. My wife did not like that movie at all. She thought it was way too long, and she didn't really care for it. But it's but I liked it. I thought it was very interesting. I thought it was a unique twist on it, the cult idea and everything else. So, but yeah, it's again cult conspiracy. They're like kidnapping people, and I think they're using them in like I said, some sort of ritual. But it's very fun, very good movie.
Yeah, what more can you want? Cults,
True.
conspiracy rituals, it's just all there. So, all right. So, hit us up on social media. Let us know what your favorite conspiracy-based movies are. And if you are as an avid a fan of They Live as I am, then we need to be friends. So, let me know. But we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will have our news, birthdays, anniversaries, upcoming releases, all that good stuff. So, stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right. So, starting us off here, we have some news from the upcoming Prime Video Carrie series from Mike Flanagan. There are talks that Matthew Lillard will be joining the cast. It'll be interesting to see who he plays, perhaps a teacher role of some sort, if I had to. Take a guess, or maybe I don't know, maybe something else. But absolutely, Matthew Lillard can do whatever he wants. So I will 100% watch him in a Mike Flanagan series.
Yeah, I was already looking forward to this, right? Being an adapt number one, being an adaptation of a Stephen King book again. I like Carrie. I'm all about this. But Mike Flanagan be involved. Okay, that's another promising thing on the top of that. But then, yeah, Matthew Lillard potentially in the cast. Well, you've got my attention for sure, though. Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it, and hopefully it delivers.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm sure we'll get more information as we get closer to, I believe the anticipated release for this is next year.
Yeah.
So we'll probably get more information as we get a little closer. But yeah, absolutely. This is good. Matt, good old Matt, Matty boy gets in there. And yeah, I'm down for it. So, all right. That's it for news right now. So we're going to move on to a upcoming birthday, a very timely upcoming birthday. Yeah. Today we celebrate the life of May 12th, 1961, La Park Lincoln. You know, she recently passed. Of course, she was in Friday the 13th, Part 7, The New Blood. But, you know, La Park Lincoln was, yeah, we talked about it last time how, you know, even roles like this that are often overlooked, you know, they still have such profound impacts, profound effects on people. And, you know, La Park was widely loved by the Friday the 13th community. So, today we celebrate her life and as well as her birth. And then, of course, again, rest in peace to her. She recently passed away.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a fan of Friday the 13th at all, you know, there's some ups and downs and some, but, you know, I don't know, maybe if like me, I find redeeming qualities in all of them, you know, each of them. Space, you know, the Jason X is a little hard, but, and all the others, right? There's, it may not be my favorite, but there's things I like about it. I will be honest, New Blood's not one of my favorites, but I thought she did a good job in it. And I can appreciate that they, you know what, they tried something different. You know, I mean, you know, they tried a different angle and it was okay. You know, and it had its moments. And, but I thought she did a good job. And, yeah, it's unfortunate because all the, you know, all the Friday final girls, you know, it's like you, I have that bucket list dream. You're like, oh, you like to meet them all, right? And have your picture taken with them all, just because I do love the Friday franchise so much. And I never, you know, never did, never got out there to meet her. And now the opportunity's gone. So, so I guess on a side note, you know, guys, get out there to the conventions and meet these people while you can, you know, meet and tell them you appreciate them while they're still here and that you love what they did and, you know, and buy, right? Buy some pictures and, you know, because a lot of them didn't have, you know, a long career. They, you know, some of them, this is what they do. And, you know, so, you know, I know she know, you know, I know she had to have known she was appreciated while she was alive, but, just make sure your favorites and as well as your family and everybody, I'm getting off a whole tangent here. Just anybody you care about or enjoy or whatever, just make sure that they know you appreciate them while they're still alive and they can still know.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's an important, message for anyone at any time, anywhere. But it's especially important, you know, when we look at these types of things. So, but yeah, that's a good note to finish on for that. But, we're going to move on to some upcoming movie anniversaries. We have May 9th, 1973, Soylent Green. I have never seen this movie. I know a lot of, again, I know a lot about Soylent Green. I'm pretty sure it's on my list. So I can't really speak to it, but you know, Dave, what do you think about Soylent Green?
Oh, it's fun. It's a classic. I mean, you know, anything where, you know, humans are a food source, I'm down. And it's a good topic, right? You know, it's one of those that in 73 wasn't overexplored like it has been later. And I mean, there's been so many spoofs of Soylent Green over the year. I mean, right, it was in a Treehouse of Horror. There was a spoof. There was for Simpsons, you know, the people that don't know, that was in the Simpsons. Just other things, right? It's a classic. And anybody that's a horror fan should give it a watch at some point in time, just so you can say you've seen it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, then we will go ahead and move on to our other movie anniversaries. May 9th, 1980. Friday the 13th, the OG, the original gangster of them all. Last week we had a birthday for the original Jason Voorhees from this film.
Yeah,
and then, all right. So, I mean, hey, it's very timely again. So, yeah, happy birthday to Friday 13th. This is when a legend was born.
Yeah, I mean, even if you're not the hugest fan of Friday 13th, which I love Friday 13th, the franchise, right? But even if you can't, I mean, you cannot argue the cultural importance of this movie. I mean,
absolutely.
One of the holy trinity of the three biggest, what I would, you know, I guess say would be the three most identifiable horror characters of all time. You know, the Freddy, Michael, Jason. You know, there's some others that creep in. Yeah, they're kind of close, maybe, but those three seems like just are the most recognizable. And so that's, you know, even if you hate Friday the 13th, you gotta at least acknowledge the cultural importance of the movie.
Absolutely. Well, I think we actually talk about that quite a bit sometimes, the cultural importance of movies. Even if you absolutely despise a movie, even if you watch a movie and you're like, oh, that's the worst shit that I've ever seen, sometimes those movies are super important for the big grander scheme of things. So, but I won't get into that that rigmarole. But moving on to May 13, 1988, Friday 13th, Part 7, The New Blood. So, of course, this is again very timely. This was the film that Laura Park Lincoln was in, and it's anniversary sh the day after her birthday. So, it's super, super, you know, it's fantastic to see that. I'll have to go back and rewatch that in her honor. And yeah, I love Friday 13th. And like you said, we talked about it a lot already, but Friday 13th, Part 7, not the best, but hey, there's a lot of redeeming stuff about it. So,
It's still fun enough. And yeah, like I said,
exactly.
we between her passing and just mentioning her birthday, yeah, I don't we've talked a lot about it, so I think we've voiced our opinions.
Absolutely. But very good. We're going to move on to our last anniversary, which is May 13th of 1988, the same day, Maniac Cop. I have seen
Oh,
Maniac Cop. I have
so
seen this
good.
movie.
Oh.
I mean, we have Tom Atkins, Bruce Campbell, as well as a slew of other people, but I think those are like the two big guys. But I mean, hey, literally, it's a killer dressed as a cop, murdering people in the streets of New York City. I mean, it would be understandable if you just misunderstood him as just a normal New York Police Department, you know, person, but that's a whole other story to be talked about. But it's a very fun movie. It's B horror, B action, just the whole nine.
So fun, such a fun movie. And oh, I cannot remember the guy that plays Maniac Cop. I can't remember, oh, whatever his name is, you know, the whole jaw thing, you know, whatever, that's really him. That's not, there's no prosthetics or whatever, that's him. He has a thing. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, I don't know what it is, but
Yeah, it's
that's,
Robert Zadar, I think it is.
yeah, that whole that jaw, whatever, you know, that's all straight up him. So, yeah, again, I think this, to me personally, this is Maniac Cop's another one of those movies. If you call yourself a horror fan, you got to watch sometime. And it's one of my horror comfort movies. It's right up there. I just love it. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It's one of those kind of movies that made me love horror. You know, one of the reasons I love horror. I think it's a great movie. Great
Yeah,
as in fun.
but no, he suffered from a genetic disorder called cherubism, which causes excessive bone growth in the lower face, which is the cause of his enormous jawline.
Yeah, pretty
Very
crazy.
good. That's
And
hilarious. I mean, not hilarious, but it's very unique, I guess, because I didn't I wouldn't have known that. Wouldn't have known that.
yeah, and landed the role based off that, and an iconic role that here we are, whatever, damn near 40 years later, still talking about.
40 years later, that's crazy. But anywho, good stuff. Check that out this week. But we're gonna go ahead and skip on now to our upcoming releases. We got two for you. We have Clown in a Cornfield coming to theaters on May 9th. It is described as a fading Midwestern town in which Friend of the Clown, a symbol of bygone success, reemerges as a terrifying scourge. We will be reviewing this movie next episode. I am super excited for this movie. I have read the book. I'm going to be snobby when I review this movie, and I'm going to talk about how much I love the book and how different it is, I'm sure.
Snobby.
So just preemptively prepare for snobby Isaac. I will be sipping the finest scotch with my ascot on, and yeah, no, I'm just kidding. But for real though, I'm super excited for this. I'm very excited to be able to actually see this, you know, on the screen and be able to talk about it and be able to be like, yeah, hell yeah, I like this. But yeah.
I'm looking forward to this. This just feels like a fun movie that's going to be right up my alley. I do love a good clown in a horror movie. And just for the record, you don't have to be snobby to enjoy a fine scotch. I love scotches in general. But and I don't think I'm snobby. Maybe I am. I don't know. Whatever.
If you talk like this when you're drinking, then you might be a little snobby.
I do. All right. There's, you know, Johnny Walker Blue, which is a very high level scotch. I do have like one shot of it left in my bottle in there, and it's just like I'm keeping it, and I don't know what I'm keeping it for. It's like almost like it's like I just don't want to bring myself to drink the last of it so that I don't have any more. But then there's like that whole part of me that's like I want to drink it. So it's quite the conundrum.
You have to save it for like a dramatic, like, you know, moment in a movie where like you've fought off like a horde of zombies and you there's like another horde of zombies coming at you and you
Sure.
only have one
Yeah.
shot left. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. But it is. It's like sitting in there and it just taunts me all the time. And it's just, I want it so bad, but it's like,
It's
then
like the Green
I'm
Goblin mask in the closet.
yeah. It's like, I'm then I'm afraid the once I drink it, I won't have any more right now. And then I'll be sad. So it's like, which would I be less sad with, if I don't drink it or if I do drink it? It is such a catch-22 situation. These are the things that keep me awake at night.
Oh man, cracking me up. But there you go. So we'll check out you guys next week with the Clown in the Cornfield. So make sure you guys go and watch it this weekend. As
Super
always,
excited.
yes, absolutely. Moving on now to Neon's body horror movie Together comes out August 1st, and a trailer was just released. It is described as a country's move to
A
the
couples.
country.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
I typed there. It's supposed to be a couples move. My bad.
I was making sure I wouldn't have a stroke. Okay. A couple's move to the countryside triggers a supernatural incident that drastically alters the relationship, existence, and physical form. Now,
Yes.
I have seen like a commercial for this, and it's Dave Franco, right? That's in it.
Yeah, they're and what's her name? I can't remember her name. They're like a real life husband and wife. And
Oh.
yeah, and yeah, key on the physical form thing in this. I this we what is it? We talked about what was it? I can't remember what we watched. Was it Street Trash? Where we
Yeah,
talked
I
about
think
where
so.
we really kind of talked a lot about body horror. And then obviously, right, the substance has some of that going on and things. So yeah, I've heard some promising things about this. That people that have already, seen previews of it and whatnot and said it's pretty creepy, pretty good. So I do like a well done body horror. Plus we have Toxic Avenger coming out this year. This is just like the year of body horror, I guess.
I guess so.
Bring
But
it
I mean,
on.
also, right. But also, it's a Neon movie. And like, Neon,
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're just absolutely just fucking killing it. I mean, there's just Neon, the production company, I'm pretty sure they did, oh God, what was that movie called with Nick Cage? Long Legs, didn't they? Or no, that was, or is that somebody else?
I don't remember. What was it? Yeah, was it Long Legs? That was the movie that, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Look it up real quick. I'm pretty sure Long Legs was the one they did that really just was huge and kind of put them on the map and now has opened all these doors for all these future things. Because remember, Long Legs was really huge and really super overachieved at the box office. And I mean, it was a great movie. But
Yeah,
I'm
it
pretty sure
was.
that, yeah, that was the movie that established them and is getting, it's pretty cool. It's like we've talked about, right, with different things, like Terrifier 2 was such a huge success, which enabled and Damien Leone to do so much more, and because then he made so much money and off of it and whatever, and gave him that flexibility. And it's kind of the same with this, right? Long Legs established Neon, and now they're just getting to kind of do the projects they want to do, and this picking and choosing, I guess, and they're on a streak, and they're that this is no this I don't think this will be different. I'm looking forward to this.
Absolutely. Well, and just for point of reference, they also did that movie Parasite, the Korean horror film or thriller film or whatever that did really, really good. They also did a bunch of stuff like, more recently, what was the one I just saw? Oh, the monkey that the one we just saw not too, too long ago.
That's right. But they did do Long Legs, right?
Yep. And they did do Long Legs, as well as a whole shit ton of other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Long Legs was just a huge success, and
It really
yeah.
was. Oh, they did Immaculate as well. That was a good one.
Oh yeah, there you go. See, that's what I'm saying. Just, it's just everything's building upon the previous, and they're on a roll. It's gotten to the point where, if I see Neon's involved, I'm excited just based on that alone, without even knowing much else. So.
Absolutely. I see Neon. I'm like, ooh, boy. But all right. So we'll have to check out together in August when that comes out. So I'm super excited for that. But all right. I think that pretty much does it for our news, birthdays, upcoming movie anniversaries, and releases. I think we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to have our first review, our official review of Project MK Hex. Stick around.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today. With the best guests you could ask for, there's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. All right, and we're back here on Listen to the Screams, and we are reviewing Project MK Hex. I said the first review, there's only going to be one. I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know what he plans to do, but whatever. The movie was written and directed by Gerald Robert Waddle, starring Ignacio Mattinea, excuse me about that, Jordan Knapp, Will Jandro, and others. And the movie was released April 29th on Screambox. This is, as we've discussed already, this is a found footage film. It is about a government mind control program, that conspiracy, whatever you want to call it. You have to watch the movie for more on that. I don't think it's really given anything away to think that, yes, this is a, whatever you want to say, in the movie wise, is a descendant of MK Ultra. They parlay it, and I will say this: I enjoyed the movie. I really liked it. I thought it was well done. I thought it was creepy. It wasn't. I don't think it was scary, but it was well delivered and everything else. I will say though, my one downside to this is it was 2 hours. I think it was too long. And I just felt like at times it really drug. I think they really could have trimmed it down. I don't know. I think there was enough in it that they could have trimmed some time. They gave a couple side examples, side, whatever you want to call them, stories about the conspiracy. I'm not going to give it much detail. I think they could have, I don't know, maybe, I don't know if they could have maybe eliminated one or whatever. I think there was opportunities to cut it down. But I did appreciate the movie. I did enjoy it. I thought it was, again, I thought it was fun. I thought it was well done for a found footage film. Everything. Now, I won't say it's just as a film in general. I don't know if it ranks up there as one of my favorite of the year so far. I don't think I'm going to go that far. But it was a good movie. It was fun. And again, my major complaint was the length. I think it was too long. There was it just seemed to drag a lot there at points, and I just didn't think the story was moving along enough to warrant 2 hours worth of film in some spots. So, but overall, I did enjoy the movie. I did like the movie and the concept of the movie, and how it had several fingers within a reality. And I watched all the way through the credits. It was just on. It just rolled through. At the very end of the credits, it literally says, "Project MKX is not real. Please do not." I don't, something like that. It's just so funny the way it did it at the end. But you know, there's enough there of things that we have discovered the government has done in the past to make you think, maybe it's not real, but you know what? It's not that far-fetched. Which you know adds some credence to the movie. So, like I said, I enjoyed it. Major downfall was the length in my eyes. So, Ike, what'd you think of it?
Well, first, remember, kids, if they should ever say the government wouldn't do that, oh, yes, they would.
And they probably already have.
And they probably already have. There's a reason that the CIA has so many unclassified or classified files that they probably will never declassify.
That's right.
But no, so Project MK, you know, Hex, or yeah, Project MK Hex, blah. I do agree. I think that the movie overall, you know, it did withstand just the general, you know, hey, like, it holds up to the general scrutiny that any other horror film would normally hold up to. I think that the general falling apart point here would definitely be the length. There were parts where, like you said, I kind of got a little bored. I mean,
yes, me too.
Especially when it comes to like a found footage movie. Found footage and long don't go together.
No.
Because what found footage really, in my opinion, capitalizes on as a genre and as a mode of providing you a film and a means in which for you to be provided a film is the fact that it is fast, the fact that it is quick, and that it is snappy. That is what found footage is about. And so trying to, I guess, go off script, if you will, and an attempt here to, you know, and perhaps make your movie stand out and make it a more of a long form kind of thing, it just doesn't work. That's why you don't see a lot of TV shows utilize found footage as its primary method in which to, you know, present you the show, right? I don't think that I've ever personally watched a television series that uses found footage as its way of, you know, presenting the show to you. It's always movies
well,
or short
there
films.
There is the Creep series that just came out. That was, I mean,
Creep is the exception that makes the rules because.
But it began as a.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah, it established itself as a movie and established, right, the whatever you want to call it, whatever you want to say, the universe, the foundation for it all before you're diving into that, right? We knew going in there was pre-existing happenings that was never discussed, which is what the series did. So yeah, you're right. It's, you know, that's it's unique in that way.
Right. Well, and like I said, it's the exception that makes the rule because that one works simply by the proxy of, like you said, we have this already established universe. We have these already established character that, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we just don't know about, you know, the Creep. And there's a lot more to it that can be used in this case to say, hey, you know, this is what this is, and this is what we're doing. Plus, all those episodes were super short form content.
Yep.
And it's unique because the show obviously presents it in episodic format in the form of tapes. So, but this movie, back to this movie, doesn't have sort of that exception, if you will. It doesn't have that, you know, it doesn't have the, oh, hey, we're going to do this, but also this kind of thing. It was just the pretty straightforward found footage mockumentary type film, which did well for what it did. It's just that when you have that length, you either have to have substantial, like, going-ons to make it really, you know, touch home, or you have to have something that makes it stick out. And, for instance, I don't know if you remember The Outwaters. The Outwaters was another found footage film that was pretty long, and its length was very detrimental to the film. And I think that this, you know, now The Outwaters was a little more experimental, so you had a little bit more funkiness. So I can't make a direct correlation per se, but I would definitely say that length is definitely something that hurt both of these movies. But beyond that, this was pretty much it was a pretty formulaic, you know, found footage movie. You know, yep. You have the you know, the, what is it called? The epilogue where you get all the, you know, backstory, or is epilogue
it's working backwards, right? You have, it begins with essentially everything's already happened and we're going to go back and see why what happened, you know, why did this happen? And by doing that, by exploring all this stuff, right? And it did it in the a very typical fashion of someone's creating a documentary, right? That's often used, right? So, yeah, I mean, it did it in essentially a working backwards fashion, which a lot of found footage do. And a lot of times, I mean, you kind of sometimes you have to. That's the route to go, but.
Absolutely. Well, and just kind of add to that, I mean, you have the, like you said, you kind of have to work backwards. You have to have sort of the striking event, right? The event in this case is, I'm not going to say who, but there's a death, right? You have a mysterious death, and then you kind of work backwards from there because you already have all that, like you said, that backlog. You have that context. And then, but it's, again, it's formulaic, pretty much any found footage film. Most found footage movies, whatever bad thing that has happened has already happened, and we're kind of going back through and, retracing steps, if you will. So this didn't depart from anything that we already knew in terms of what found footage is or what you can expect from found footage.
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't do it that way and you just dove right in to start telling the, you'd be lost. You'd have no idea what you're building to. In just the nature of these films, most of the time you have to, I mean, you have to give that whatever that that statement of this is what's has happened. This is what we're exploring. I mean, that's just you have to, or it's just very chaotic. It would be very chaotic.
It would be, but yeah. So without rambling further, because like I said, I'm getting off track here. I'm talking about the
There
creep
is.
tapes and stuff. But hey, it happens.
Yeah.
I think the movie did good for as a standard found footage film, but to me, it didn't really do anything to stick out other than the subject matter. But the subject matter being about Project, MK Ultra, this whole thing, and how they presented that part of it, like what Project MK8, Hex is, that specifically was great. That really stood out and was really fantastic. But I feel like everything else that kind of surrounded that middle part was lacking a little bit. So yeah, that's where I stand. Like I said, it was all right. It was, it had its good parts, but I don't know if the good parts truly outweighed the parts that kind of lost me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I would agree. Like I said, it was, I overall, yeah, I enjoyed the movie. It was good enough. It was a decent watch. I don't regret watching it. But the length, I mean, again, part of my issue with the length is they didn't spend that entire time introducing new material. A lot of it is like rehashing material. It was, I don't know. It was just, there was some theme, I don't want to say themes, there were some happenings in the movie that they just repeated a couple of different times of, and we're like, okay, we got it. You don't have to double down on this anymore. But the length really got me because it did lose me a few times. And I hold true, right? I think if you trim 15 minutes, 20 minutes out of this movie, I would, I'd probably think a little more of it, honestly. Because I think there was enough fat you could have trimmed out of it to that would have made it a better watch of a movie. Like you, I thought that, you know what, the subject matter is fine. I enjoy the topic. Definitely worthy of doing a movie. Definitely worthy of doing this type of movie. It was fitting for a found footage, right? They had the premise was great. Everything was there, and it's almost like they. I don't know. They needed to do a few more run-throughs of editing on that script to get it down a little bit. I mean, it had a good cast. Everybody delivered in it. I believed. I believed in it. If you didn't know, came into it blind. You could get lost in it and believe this was truly real people in this, scenario. If you suspend reality, but there again, they didn't. And I'm not saying that necessarily in a horribly bad way, but yeah, they didn't. There was no books being rewritten in this, right?
No.
It was pretty standard. And again, I know it's getting a lot of praise online on social media. I've seen that. I'm glad people are enjoying it. I can see why certain people would enjoy it, because again, there was enough there that I could see where it could hook certain people. I truly think I truly think if you're not necessarily a fan of found footage, you really wouldn't care for this movie. I think it's too much found footage for you that it would really lose you. And I think if you don't like found footage, the reasons you don't like found footage, this movie's gonna kind of bore you, probably.
No, absolutely.
So, all right then, let's go ahead and wrap this show up. Let's rate this thing. Again, like I said, I enjoyed it enough. I had some things to pick, but nothing groundbreaking. So I think I'm just, I still think it warrants to me just a that middle of the road 3 out of 5 for me. I enjoyed it enough that it's okay. I don't think it would be a hard no to rewatch this movie at some point. If it's kind of maybe if I'm doing something else and I don't have to give it my full attention where those parts will lose me. But it's not one of those movies that I don't know that I would actually sit down and seek out to rewatch. But it was fun enough for me to give. I think I give it a 3 out of 5. So, Ike, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I also agree. I think the big thing here is that this is definitely leans heavily on the genre that it's built in. 3 out of 5 to me makes sense given the movie that we watched. It was pretty standard, pretty run of the mill, I would say. The only thing that really stood out about this was what it was about, and I don't think that was enough to push it into 3.5 or 4 territory, unfortunately.
Yeah, it would be. It's interesting because I think several of the found footage films that we have reviewed in the past couple of years that have really turned my vision around on these things that I really enjoyed. I think if you had taken this film before I had seen all those, I would have probably not liked it at all. I really do. I don't. I think this would have been one of those kind of movies that I would have pointed at and said, "See, this is what I don't like about found footage." It feels kind of the same. It's a little too long, a little too much. But because some movies have come along and maybe opened my mind a little more towards found footage, that maybe I have, I don't know, maybe a little more appreciation for it. I think it's, I don't know, interesting thought. So, like we said earlier, next episode we will be reviewing Clown in a Cornfield, which will be in theaters. So run out and see that so that you can follow along with us in our discussion. We would like to say thank you to our wives and then all the listeners and followers for all your support and interactions for the show. Be sure you follow us on social media. We're on pretty much all the platforms. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen to Screams, and we will be there. All right, before we close out, is there anything you want to add?
Not really. How are those Cardinals doing? I saw they won. They beat the Pirates yesterday, didn't they?
Yeah, well, they're a couple games under 500. Not horrible, not great. Everybody was down on them because this was supposed to be kind of a rebuilding year, but I don't know. I have a little faith. I'm not getting too far of a tangent though. Say what you want. I'm a baseball fan. I'm a diehard. I mean, you cut me open and there'll be red birds will fly out of my corpse. They have some amazing young talent that I hope they can keep a hold of, and I truly believe that this young talent will win a World Series in the next few years. So there you go. But of
Nice,
course, I
nice.
say that all the time. So
Fair
all
enough.
right
Well,
then. No, go ahead. What were you gonna say?
no, I was just gonna say, fair enough, fair enough. I cannot fault you for wanting your team to win. I cannot
That's
fault
right.
you.
That's right. Yeah, and we are. I mean, we're getting. I mean, we're in May. We're a month deep into the season, baseball season. Anybody that knows me knows I'm a diehard baseball fan. So, yeah, I'm. I watch like a hawk. If I don't watch games, I'm constantly watching updates on my phone, and everything else, getting alerts. So, there are 2 games under 500, but hopefully they can turn that around, and get to the promised land. So, go Redbirds. So. I don't remember if there's ever been a baseball horror movie. That would be interesting.
I was literally thinking that. I was like, I'm surely there has. Surely there's a baseball related horror film. I'll have to look that up and
That sounds fun. So, all right, then on that tangent, before we get completely off of the topic, let's close out. We will see you next episode when once again reviewing Clown in a Cornfield. And just remember, guys, anytime you watch an ad, if you watch a trailer, you watch a video on social media, or you look at a billboard or anything else, just remember those, they live subliminal messages. They're just trying to get you to obey. But until next episode, where are you going? What do you do? Be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.